Let's talk about books, baby. Let's talk about you and me.
Hello, welcome to my podcast. Today we will be discussing Alison Bechdel's autobiography / biography. So Reagan, your research, similar to mine, some of it focused on the use of books throughout this novel.
Correct.
And what were some books that you found were interestingly placed? And do you think that they belonged there? What purpose do you think that they served?
So I think for me, mostly the book that I focused on was Colette's autobiography. So Bechdel's father gives her this book before she had come out as a lesbian. And to me, it makes it seem that he knew, he had some sort of identification with her in that moment that, hey, I know what you're going through. I know that you're a lesbian, without directly saying it. And then later we see in the car, she's like, did you give me that book because you knew?
Yes. And I think that it was very interesting for me at that moment to see, like, wow, her dad, even though he doesn't show it, he really does know her. And I think even though their relationship may have been very rocky or maybe not the most stable relationship that a father and daughter could have, at least he knew her. And you can kind of tell that in a lot of different areas, they're kind of the same people. While reading this book, I never really realized how important these novels that she would deliberately place in all the panels. Right. I never realized their importance.
I agree.
And, you know, doing this research really kind of opened my eyes and helped me further understand the book.
Right, because you see, even from the very beginning of the book, where we see Alison and her father, you know, playing with each other, and we see, oh, Anna Karenina's on
Anna
the floor.
Anna Karenina.
And we're like, oh, well, maybe that's not intentional. Maybe she just put it there. But the more you see, the more you read, you see that was definitely deliberate.
Yes, Anna Karenina was in itself a story about family tragedy.
Yes.
I've read Anna Karenina. You can tell from the very beginning that, wow, this is going to be a tragic story.
Right, almost foreshadowing in a sense.
Yes.
You see this book, there's no way this is going to have a happy ending.
Yes. It's kind of like a lampshade, almost. So, Reagan, how do you think that the Great Gatsby novel fits into this autobiography of Alison Bechdel?
Well, I think, you know, the Great Gatsby, we see Jay living this extravagant life.
Yes.
But it wasn't who he was. It was all a fake. It was a fake persona. Mm-hmm. Where that's basically how Bruce is. He's living in this fictional world because he can't come to terms with his own reality. So he has to make it up as he goes. You know, he has the idea of his artificial family. He has a perfect house, you know, everything as how he wants it to be, but he cannot come to terms with who he is and who he, his reality. He just can't.
Yes. Well, Reagan, I completely agree with you. And we see, you know, his perfect house that he's constantly fixating on. He's always bringing in new furniture. And we see his perfect family.
Yes.
Especially in the church scene, Alison Bechdel, you know, she comes right out and says it, you know, we are a perfect family to everyone else,
yes,
but no one knows that my father sleeps with little boys. So I think that her placing the Great Gatsby in, you know, a couple important panels, I think that really allows the reader to understand how much of Bruce's life was fake.
Exactly.
And I think that most of it was, because he kept a lot of things hidden.
He did.
From his family.
Maybe having a wife was him also trying to be more of a fictional person, because if Bruce felt this way, he felt like maybe he was a gay man, maybe he was a bisexual man, you don't see the love in their marriage. You don't see that he wants to be married to this woman, he cares about this woman. You know, they're on their way to a divorce.
You raise a really good point there, Reagan, and you are absolutely correct. Like, throughout the book, I don't remember any particular scenes where they were affectionate towards each other. And if they were, I think it was very early on in Allison's life.
Yes, there is, I know, one scene where Allison herself says, my parents were never affectionate. I think I saw them kiss one time. And that was when she was a child.
Mm-hmm. And not only is Bruce not affectionate towards his wife, but he's really not affectionate towards his children either.
No, he's not.
He's not. A lot of people argue that the reason this book was so interesting was because it's about a real true story. And I think, you know, when you watch a scary movie and the first words are like based on a true story, it really does
captures the audience. Them pay more attention to, like, oh my god.
Yes. And why do you think that it's better that it was a real life story?
I think it makes it more easier to relate to. I think if you know that there's someone out there, whether it be just coming to terms with your own identity, maybe not necessarily you're gay or lesbian, but just seeing someone go through something like that and being like, okay, I feel represented. I feel like there are other people who have experienced this and I am not alone in this. I feel that, hey, she got through it. I can get through it. It's going to be hard, but I can do it.
You raise very good points. And representation in the media, you know, in literature, advertising, magazines, all of that, it's very important, especially for young adults, especially, like, for kids.
It's imperative. I think children need to see themselves being represented.
So I would argue that Fun Home is not only her autobiography, but also a biography on her father, Bruce Bechdel. Do you think that's something that you could argue as well?
I think, absolutely. I think because you see, yes, you see Bechdel's, like, her experience, her story, but you also really see Bruce's journey, in a sense. You see it through the pictures that she puts in the book. You see it through the way that the way that he's presented. You see it through the stories she tells about her father. You really do get a sense of who he is. It is almost like a biography. I absolutely agree.
Yes, and honestly, for me, while I was reading this book, I found it to be more about her father.
Yeah.
And I found it very interesting that you mentioned the photos, because Allison herself, she mentioned that the photos offered her a glimpse into his private hidden life. What is even more interesting to me is the fact that she didn't really know much about his life until right. after he passed away, until after she started gathering her research for this book.
Digging up the skeletons in the closet.
She really was digging up those skeletons, Regan.
And
she really was.
The tea.
You're in my class with me, Regan. We read three different graphic novels, you know, Fun Home, Mouse, Persepolis.
Yes.
And I don't know about you, but I was sitting there, you know, trying to figure out what all three books had to do with each other.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm sure that our professor didn't just pick them randomly. I'm sure he did it very deliberately.
I agree.
So while doing this Fun Home research, I found out that Alison Bechdel was, in fact, very heavily influenced by Mouse and Art Spiegelman.
That's very interesting.
I did
not know that.
She states that she couldn't have ever made this book if Mouse didn't exist.
Huh.
And I thought that was very interesting because, to me, Fun Home and Mouse, at first look, they don't really have anything to do with each other.
Right.
You know, one's about sexuality and the other one's about the Holocaust.
Yeah.
But she states that because Art Spiegelman was the first, you know, cartoonist author to ever put such a serious topic as a comic.
Yeah.
She took his influence and was like, hey, he could talk about the Holocaust in a comic book. I think that now anyone could talk about anything serious in a comic book as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yes. She said that she even modeled the format of the book after Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
She said she wanted to make them the same size.
Yeah, because now that you have mentioned that, I think looking back, you definitely can see, not necessarily in terms of subject matter, because they're about two completely different things,
mm-hmm.
but in, like, the styles used, I think you can definitely see where she drew her influences from Mouse.
Yes. So that is all for my first episode of this podcast. Thank you so much to my classmate Reagan Hewitt for joining me.
Thank you for having me. I think we got some good points across. I think we really had a good intellectual discussion. Broadway is an American staple, and I think if we didn't have Broadway, who would I be? The same exact person, because I've never been on Broadway because I don't have the talent.